नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। At Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir for looking after all of us so wonderfully, and Gauranga Prabhu and Govind Prabhu for inviting us for this very special occasion. This morning we'll be speaking from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I am not at all qualified to speak, but having been embraced by His Holiness Radhanath Swami just before class, I may be able to say some words. So I'll just recite the verse and the translation and read the purport. Prayena deva muniyo svavimuktikama monam charanti vijani naparata nishta Nahitan vihaya kripana vimuksha eko nanyam tadasya sharanam brahmatonu pasye. Translation is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Lord Nrisimhadeva, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are not interested. But they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forests to meditate with vows of silence, Maunavrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can even go to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bibhyate swarga apavarga narakeshu apituliyat darshana. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustments, and jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotees have no such interest. He's not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interests are in the busiest parts of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious movement was started for that purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that he can make a show and become so that he can make a show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activities. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he's interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj clearly states, Nanyam tvadasya sharanam brahmato nupasye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter at your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return back home, back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna conscious movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forests, where one will only take a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has been very eloquently describing the pastimes of Lord Nrisingadev, and specifically he spoke about how when Prahlad Maharaj had seen that Nrisingadev had appeared, no one could pacify him, none of the devatas. Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they could not pacify him. They were frightened. So finally, Lord Brahma, he requested Lakshmi Devi to go, but even she was frightened to go. So finally, Lord Brahma is requesting Prahlad Maharaj to come and pacify Nrisingadev. So this chapter is entitled, Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with prayers. And this verse that we are speaking on today is the verse for preachers. It is the verse if you are living in a city like Bombay or London or any city, what our real business is and how to become a good preacher is an interesting phenomenon. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he commented on this when Abhay Charan, when Prabhupada would visit, and he said that I have marked him well because he listens very carefully. And this is the secret of becoming a good devotee or a good preacher, that we are able to listen. There is a relevant story in this connection of the three types of listening that occur when we attend class. And the analogy is given of a puppeteer who had three dolls. And he took the first doll and he took a wire and he placed it through the ear, one side of the ear. And when he pushed it through, it came out from the other side. So this is the first type of listening that may occur when we're giving good advice, whether it's a Bhagavatam class. And that is that people are listening from one ear and it's going out from the other ear. And these sort of persons are generally sleeping in class because it's going through one and coming out of the other side. Giriraj Swami was commenting that when Srila Prabhupada was speaking in 26 Second Avenue, and he spoke to one of his disciples after class, and he asked him, "Was my class received very well?" And the disciple said, "Actually, Srila Prabhupada, most of the people were sleeping in your class." So Prabhupada, when he was speaking the next morning, and he looked around, he saw in the audience that everyone practically was sleeping. So he became very disturbed and he stopped the class and he asked, "Why are you all sleeping?" And different individuals put up various reasons. One said, "Very late night." Another one said, "We had eaten too much last night." Another one said, "Actually, we cannot understand the philosophy, so it is difficult for us to follow." So Srila Prabhupada, he said, "None of these reasons are correct. The reason why you are falling asleep in class is because you have not come to the stage of understanding that Krishna consciousness is so important." And Giriraj Swami said, he used the word "exclusively important." That when you realize this, you will realize there is no time to sleep. The puppeteer took the next doll and he pushed the wire through the doll again. And this time, the wire came out from the mouth. So this is the second type of person who attends the Bhagavatam class. Is that they listen very carefully and they repeat it to others how wonderful this class was. It's a little bit like me. I was speaking with Radhanath Swami and I was saying to him how wonderful his instructions were in the last few days of class. He was speaking on etiquette, he was speaking on relationships, he was speaking on humility. So I was saying these were such wonderful topics. So this type of individual will speak to others, but he himself will never follow it. He never follows it. He tells all others about it. Then the puppeteer took the third doll and he pushed the wire in. And this time the wire went into the heart. And this is the third type of person. That not only do they hear, they imbibe the instructions of the spiritual master within the heart. And they follow it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in commenting also why we do not hear, not only in class, but also in japa, why we are not able to hear. He quotes his stanza from his poetry, that forget the past that sleeps, and never the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress ye shall call. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying in this stanza that physically we may be present in japa, in class, but mentally we are not there. And hence his advice is forget the past that sleeps. Whilst we're in class in japa, we are thinking of yesterday. Either it was a wonderful kirtan, either we are thinking the prasadam wasn't spicy enough, something is going on. Or never the future dream at all. We are thinking, tomorrow is fasting till evening, I better make sure I'm first in line for prasad today. Double helpings today. So that way we are never in the present. And because we are never in the present, we can never advance in our japa. We can never advance in hearing the Bhagavatam class. So this verse today that we're speaking from, this is the verse for preachers. And Krishna in the Gita very much speaks on this. Na chitasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. That then there is no one more dear than that individual who is residing in very difficult places, as in the purport, Prabhupada is speaking about hellish situations. So Prabhupada once said, was asked, what is hell? And he said, London is hell. So we are residing in London, and practically Bombay is the most important city. So this is similar, the situation is similar. So Krishna is saying that there is no one more dear than that individual who takes the austerity of residing in such places. But speaking about Krishna consciousness, so in this verse, prayena deva muniyo sva vimukti kama. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is addressing, he's saying deva. And here the word deva refers to Narasimha deva. He's saying, my dear Lord Narasimha, prayena deva muniyo, that muniyo, the saintly people in general, prayena, meaning general, their main business is svavi mukti kama, liberation. That's their main business. But what type of liberation? Sva, their own. They're very much concerned about their own liberation. And what are the activities they perform? Monam, vows of silence. Charanti, wandering in the Himalayas, so they avoid materialistic people. So they head for the Himalayas. Charanti, or they are residing in solitary places. Vijani, sorry, means solitary places like caves. Na paratha nishtha. They are not interested in the welfare of other individuals. In Krishna conscious movement, of course, svavi mukti kama, we are interested both in our own liberation and in helping others. And hence our path is twofold path, Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the preaching, helping others. At the same time, Pancharatrika, our own sadhana, our own spirituality is also looked after. Whereas these muniyos that Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about, their only interest is how they can become liberated. In looking at this verse, monam, this Prabhupada defines silence as always speaking Krishna Katha. And when myself and Sitaram, we went to meet one such muni, one very saintly person in London. We were having one event, so we went to meet him. And his name, he's very famous in India, his name is Murari Bapu. Very saintly personality. So we went to see him, and I said to him that generally, as you know, saintly people try to avoid. So I said, what about this mona? Prabhupada is speaking that mona really means that you should just speak about Krishna or Ram. And he said, no, I still do one day a week mona. One day a week I observe Monavrat. So, and he had very good reasons. He said, one reason is that this way I avoid materialistic people. Because so many people want to meet him, whichever country he's in. Gulf of people want to meet him, he said. But when they know that on that day he is performing Monavrat, then no one will come and see him because he won't say anything. What advice can he give? So he said that's one of the items he uses. But he said also on a practical level for him, he said because he speaks so much that one day he has to make sure that he gives his vocal cords a rest. And this way he can sustain speaking all the time. So these were practical reasons. And he said that I have so many followers, and these followers they're always wanting advice. He said, specifically, all my followers, they are grihasthas, and there are so many problems, as you know. So he said, in order to cut away that, I decided to have this monavrat. And he told us a funny story. He's quite a funny man. And he said, one lady who was affiliated very much with him would always come and speak to him that, please advise me how I can stop arguments between myself and my husband. Because the husband would get very angry. And he would start shouting. And eventually she would also lose it. And she would start shouting. So Murari Bapu said that she came to see him. And wherever he travels, actually, Murari Bapu, he only bathes in Ganga water. So wherever, whichever country he's going to, big tanks of Ganga water go. And he only drinks Ganga water. So he said that he told this lady, you wait. And he took some Ganga water, he chanted some mantras, and he said, you take this, this will help. So she asked, well, what do I do? Do I give it to my husband in the evening or in the mornings? And he said, no, this is for you. What you do is that when your husband starts arguing with you, you take a big gulp of this Ganga water and you keep it in your mouth. And let him keep shouting, but you don't drink this water. And when he has stopped complaining, then you drink it. So this way you will never reply back and the argument will stop. These are many of the stories he tells in his katha. So of course, he had great respect for Srila Prabhupada, and he said to us that sadhus generally don't want to benefit others. Sadhus, their inclination, why? Because it is contaminating, he said. To associate with materialist is very contaminating. And he said at the same time, it is very, very difficult work. He said, that's why your Swami Prabhupada was very unique personality. Prabhupada, he speaks of this, that so many difficulties may be there. He said that, I have practically had to walk through fire to start this movement. So many difficulties. So these muniyos, they're thinking, why take up this difficulty? So Prabhupada goes on to comment, it is not that in spiritual life that there are no problems. But in the association of devotees, we will find solution. Whereas in material life, the solutions are simply covering the problems. So sometimes we think we're all living so close together. But actually, in that association, we can find all solutions. Whereas the materialist, their solutions are simply covering the problems further. And further, Prahlad Maharaj, he goes on to say, Nahitan vihaya kripana vimuksha eko. That I do not want liberation on my own. Vihaya, leaving aside these kripanas. And kripanas generally is translated as miserly, but here, miserly has been converted into fools and rascals, because kripanas are fools and rascals. So Srila Prabhupada commented on this, liberating myself. And in one conversation to the devotees in the early years, he said, we are not going back home, back to Godhead on our own. If we are going back home, back to Godhead, we are all going together. We're not going on our own. So, liberation on our own, he didn't recommend it. In the purport Srila Prabhupada is recommending this business of door-to-door, shop-to-shop, university-to-university, all of these things, how we can reach all the individuals. And the emblem of this door-to-door and how it started is very much related to Narasimhadev. Specifically, Lord Chaitanya had instructed Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go and knock on all the doors and beg everyone, please, you take up Krishna consciousness and the mood of total humility. In total humility to go and speak, please take up Krishna consciousness. So of course the pastime is there that Lord Nityananda very much wanted to deliver this Jagai and Madai. The pastime of Lord Narasimhadev is that the Lord wanted to fight. So who can fight him? No one can fight him. Only the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, they can fight him. Ordinary entities, they cannot fight him. So they had to come. So they are coming as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. They're coming again as Ravana, Kumbhakarna. They're coming again as Sishupal and Dantavakra. But when they came as Jaga and Madai, they were the combination of all of these six personalities. Because these six personalities, they personified lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, pride. All of these qualities were merged into each of these personalities. But they came personified as a full package in Jagai and Madai. So the pastime, very much we know that one of the personalities, Madai, he threw a pot at Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda was bleeding. But still Lord Nityananda would not leave. He kept on requesting them, despite all difficulties. He kept on requesting them, no, you please chant. So of course Haridas Thakur at that time had fled. And he immediately went to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing this, he ran through the streets of Navadvip. And whilst running through the streets of Navadvip, his form changed. When they were watching him run through the streets, the top half became Lord Narasimhadev. And this form is known as Narasimha Chaitanya. Half man, half Chaitanya. He's running through these streets. And this Narasimha Chaitanya, he called out Sudarshan whilst he was running. So whilst this Sudarshan Chakrate arrived, and he wanted to kill this Jagai and Madai. But the same mood that is being mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj in this verse was exemplified by Lord Nityananda. That no, you cannot kill them. We can kill that demoniac mentality. And of course, if you want to kill them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, if you want to kill these personalities, what hope is there for anyone? So, this pastime of Lord Narasimhadev also happens at that time. In his writings, Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks on this principle of giving Krishna consciousness to others. And he says that this is the highest work. Why? He says generally devotees are very much interested. They are looking for Krishna prema. Devotees are looking for Krishna prema, he said. But he said, but those who worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and how do we worship them, he said? by preaching. He said, for them, Krishna Prem comes looking for them. Generally, devotees are looking for Krishna Prem. But for those that are preaching, Krishna Prem is coming and looking for them. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is so emphatic in the purports in this verse. In continuing, Prahlad Maharaj, he concludes, Nanyam tudasya saranam brahmato nupasi. Brahmato nupasi means that the living entities are wandering in this universe looking for happiness. Every living entity, somehow, the top item on their shopping list is happiness. And they're wondering throughout the universes, how can I get this happiness? So Prahlad Maharaj, he speaks of this, that Matir ne Krishne parat svatuva mitu abhipadyat graha vratanam. That such personalities, he calls them graha vrata. Graha vrata. They have taken a vow. Just as we take a vow at initiation. We're all taking a vow at initiation. Yes, from now I will be focused. From now I will be committed to Guru and Gauranga. So Prahlad Maharaj says, similarly, the materialists, they are also taking vows. They're graha vrata. Every day they are taking a vow, I will enjoy this life. It is the only life. Graha vrata. And just as we have a morning program, they also have a morning program. Isn't it? We have japa and mangalarti, so they also have the radio. This is their mangalarti. We have deity greetings. They're also greeting themselves every morning in the mirror. Isn't it? And what is the one question everyone is asking when they look in the mirror? It is in the story of Snow White. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And every day they're getting a reply, it's you, it's only you. Graha vratanam. They're convinced, totally convinced, that we should continue in this path. Adanda gobir vishatam tamishram. Their uncontrolled senses are taking them towards a hellish situation. Puna punash charvita charvananam. They are chewing that which is already been chewed. And the Vedic analogy is there of sugar cane. Already the juice has been taken out, would you chew it? And the modern day analogy is chewing gum. How much juice can you get out of chewing gum? Very limited, isn't it? After 2 minutes, it's gone. So if someone is chewing the gum and he's taken some juice out and he throws it in the streets of Bombay, and you may be unfortunate that on your champal it sticks, would you decide that let me peel it from my champal and see if there is some juice in this chewing gum left? Punaspuna charvita charvananam. They are chewing that which is already being chewed. So, in trying to become a devotee, in trying to preach, there are so many obstacles and difficulties we will face. As all of you know, and Gopinath Mandir is a hub of preaching. The main activity is preaching. So when you're trying to do this, there are so many obstacles and difficulties on a daily basis that you will face. And Prahlad Maharaj is asking us to endure these difficulties. There is a very nice story and lessons we can learn about enduring and difficulties that's given in the life of a butterfly. one gentleman, he saw a cocoon of a butterfly. And he decided to watch how the butterfly develops. So he waited and he waited, and he noticed that one end of the cocoon became dissolved. The moth inside ate it. Now, he noticed that the moth or the butterfly was trying to come out of the cocoon very desperately. It would try to push and fail, push and fail. So after a day of observing this, the gentleman thought, let me try and help this butterfly. So with a pair of scissors, he cut the cocoon. And he opened it, and the butterfly was released. And what he saw was the butterfly had a very large body and very small wings, which is the opposite of what a butterfly is. Butterfly has very large wings and a small body. And he waited for the butterfly to fly. It didn't fly. It remained crippled. What this man had forgotten that is that God, in his infinite wisdom, had already planned how a butterfly develops. The fluids within the body of the butterfly, they are the fluids that rejuvenate the wings. And when the butterfly tries to push through the cocoon, it's such a small hole that it pushes out all of the fluids into the wings. So hence, when the butterfly does come out of the cocoon, it's prepared immediately for flight. Immediately the butterfly can fly. So sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our lives. Each hurdle in life is sent by Krishna to make us stronger. Just like the athlete in training, the difficulty the coach puts the athlete through, they're meant to make the athlete stronger and competent. If Krishna allowed us to go through life without any obstacles, it would cripple us, just like that butterfly. And just like that butterfly, we would never fly. So we can remember these stories when difficulties come in our lives. And we're thinking, this preaching business, this living in this mandir, it's so crowded, so many difficulties. We think, oh my God, these difficulties have been sent by Krishna to make me stronger, just like that butterfly. Otherwise, if we do not take these tests on, we will also be crippled. We will never fly. So, a preacher's life is just like that. It is dangerous. So we may wonder, just like Murari Bapu was saying, associating with worldly people will be contaminated. So a preacher may often worry about this principle. So when Vyas, he was meditating, he saw in his meditation Krishna. And he saw one step behind him, the shadow of Krishna, or Maya. So Prabhupada, he comments that from Krishna to Maya is only one step. And every moment of our life, we are being given a choice to choose between Krishna and Maya. Every moment. The analogy is given of the circus. In the circus, you'll see an act where there's a man who is riding on two horses. He has one leg on one horse and another leg on the other one. And he's riding in the circus. So how long can you go on like that? How long can you go on? You have one foot with Krishna, and you thought, just in case, another foot is there with Maya. How long can you go on riding? Not possible. Eventually, you have to choose Krishna or Maya. Make your choice. So, Prahlad Maharaj is mentioning in his teachings that the preacher can be protected by Vandanam. And Satsarup Goswami speaks very eloquently in his book Vandanam on this principle, that how a preacher is praying, and Srila Prabhupada would daily pray, that please protect me. And he didn't need to pray, but still he was praying, please you protect me from the material energy. This principle of Vandanam is a very important principle. A very famous scientist in America, George Washington Culver, he speaks also on this principle of Vandanam. And he says that because he was so successful, the reporters, they asked him, what is the secret of your success, Washington? You've invented so many things. What is the secret of your success? And he said that every day when I pray as if everything I do depends on God. And every day when I work as if everything depends on me. Meaning God helps those who help themselves. It is not that we can just pray and think we will preach well and be protected. You have to endeavor. You have to work hard. In the Roman Catholic Church, this principle of prayer is also taken very seriously. And Saint Augustine, one of the pillars of the Roman Catholic Church, he writes in his Confessions, they have this principle of confessions. So he writes in his Confessions, because he himself, prior to becoming Saint Augustine, his mother was a very devout religious person. But when Saint Augustine, when he came home with one woman, and he didn't marry her and he stayed with her, and his mother was so overcome by this, that my son has not become a religious person. That principle, of course, the Christians call it living in sin. Now it's normality. You don't get married, you just live together. The principle was living in sin. So his mother was saying, you're living in sin. So Saint Augustine mentions in his Confessions that he himself had some inclination. But his mother told him that for 27 years she prayed that somehow he will see the light of God. For 27 years she prayed. So Saint Augustine, he says in his Confessions, for all we know, our blessings are not the fruits of our prayers alone, but those of another person praying for us. So we may be thinking, I'm very successful because I'm praying. But Saint Augustine is saying, no, no, no. They're probably the fruits of another person that is praying for you. And that's why we ask all Vaishnavas, please pray for me. Because our prayers may not be sufficient. So, Hiranyakashipu, in this pastime, is getting a benediction from his son. Because Prahlad Maharaj is requesting Lord Nrisimhadev, no, you please, you protect him. And in modern day history, I browse through many history books as a hobby. Looking at them, you'll find Mussolini, Hitler, Napoleon, all of these were modern-day Hiranyakashipu. They also wanted to conquer this world. And one person that's very close to here, was of such caliber, who was probably more successful than all of them, was Alexander the Great. And when he conquered everything, of course, as you know, he died very young. So when he only had a few days to live, he requested his personal associates, "Is there anyone here amongst us that can give me just 2 healthy days? Because I very much want to see my mother. And in return, I will give half my kingdom," which was half the world. "So just give me 2 healthy days. Who can do this?" No one replied. No one replied. And as the time approached, he again requested, "Is there anyone here who can give me 1 breath only? And in return, I will give my entire kingdom," which is the entire world. No one replied. His last words of Alexander is that, "I wasted millions of breaths to carve out a great empire. I wasted millions of breaths to carve out a huge empire. In exchange for that empire, I could not even get a single breath back. In return, even I couldn't get 1 breath back." So the fate of Hiranyakashipu and any modern day Hiranyakashipu is exactly the same. Class on Nrisingadev would be complete without some pastime, some story. There is a, on, and obviously this verse is focusing very much on preaching as well. So the devotees in Florida were busy in the book distribution marathon at the time of Christmas. And as we know, very difficult task. Very, very difficult task. We are very hot here right now. But just last week, I was scraping ice from my windscreen. So the dualities are there. So the marathons generally in the West are very cold. In London this year, it was -5 for that time. So just to stand on the street for 8 hours, not an easy task. What to speak of other places? Shivram Swami speaks about his days on book distribution in Chicago, near the airport. And temperatures, he said, would get down to -15, -20. Standing for 8-10 hours, probably equivalent to standing in the heat. Such difficulties. So these devotees who had gone to Florida for the book distribution marathon, they finished the day and they live in a big camper. So at the end, they park their camper in whichever area they can park on. And it was the evening, so they decided now to take rest. So they were all brahmacharis. So they all put on their gamshas and they're having the evening prasadam. Some samosas are in their hands. On the same day they were in Florida, the largest shop which sells guns and ammunition was broken into. Someone had broken into that shop and stolen all the ammunition, all the guns, everything was stolen. So the police on that day were extremely horrified because whoever it was, they could create a massacre. So every police force within the city of Florida were looking for these individuals. Now somehow, by fate, the individuals who stole the various ammunition and guns had the same vehicle as the devotees were driving in. So the devotees, those that stole the guns ran away. The devotees were sitting in the parking lot, hearing some katha, they were eating their samosas, when all of a sudden they noticed that the entire car park was surrounded. In the air there was a helicopter with lights. And a large number of vehicles had gathered. And finally, they were looking out thinking, "Why, is it already morning? It seems light out there. What's going on?" So there was a voice which came through on a megaphone. "Come out with your hands up." And they said, "Oh my God, what have we done? Maybe they've caught us illegally distributing books in Florida. But does it need a helicopter and so many cars? So many policemen?" So immediately, police said, "If you do not come out immediately this moment, we are coming in." So the devotees immediately thought, "We better run out." They had gumshoes on. So they came out with their hands up, and the bhaktas still had their samosas in their hands. They were still nibbling a little. "He's got to get the samosa finished." And they were asked to stand aside. There wasn't much to check. There wasn't much to frisk. It was only a gumption. They definitely weren't carrying any guns. So finally, the police force, it was, and the devotees described it as 50 policemen had gathered with guns. So finally, they did a search of their vehicle, which took a good 1 hour, every bit of it. And the only things they found within the camper truck were books and Brahmin underwear. Nothing else. That's all they saw. So they were wondering, what is all this? Who are these personalities? So they called the chief of police. Chief of police was invited to come. This is the only vehicle. We haven't caught anyone else. What do we do? So the chief of police arrived. And the chief of police said, "What have you found?" They said, "Nothing. There are these individuals. And we found these books." So the chief of police started looking through the books. And the devotees at that time were so fearful, they were praying to Lord Nrisimhadev. Because they thought, now something will definitely happen. They will catch us for something. We don't have any arms, but there'll be some law whereby we get arrested somehow. Because so many police are here, they just can't leave us. They have to arrest someone for something now. So whilst they were praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, the chief of police, he put his hands in the air and he shouted, "All glorious to Srila Prabhupada." And all the devotees looked around. And all the police force were all looking. And he went up to the devotees and he said that, "I had stayed 1 week in your ashram when Swami Prabhupada was here. And I had taken some aspects of your philosophy. It was too difficult for me to imbibe, but I liked what you were doing." So the devotees were very happy because obviously he said, "We're not going to arrest you." But he said, "Is there anything I can do for you? Because I was so grateful that I stayed for that 1 week in the ashram." They said, "Well, we have a marathon right now. And we didn't have such a good day. And somehow, can you help us? So he's the chief of police, and there are 50 policemen there. So he ordered each policeman has to buy 3 books. So the devotees, this is a true story. So the devotees were overwhelmed. Not only did Lord Nrisingadev protect them, but the entire stock of books was gone. Srila Prabhupada ki, go to Premanandi. So this evening we will continue with more bhajans with Madhava Prabhu, Pranabandhu Prabhu, but you will get the real purport of the Nrisingha Leela and a real class tomorrow when His Holiness Radhanath Swami continues in his narration. Hare Krishna.